Morning. Today's scripture readings are from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, and Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 56. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Reading begins. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do I read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy upon him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Samaritan opposition. Reading 2 begins. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
There should be a, is there in front of your bulletin? But this is a great picture that I found. I didn't even see that at the bottom. Bible School Primer for Governors During Refugee Crisis. I did not even see that part. How about that? Well, there goes half my sermon. I just thought it was pretty funny and cool. This guy's the hero of the story. You want to be this guy, and then those other guys. These guys are not the heroes of the story. You don't want to be those guys. Whenever the reading comes up for the Good Samaritan, story of the Good Samaritan, it is probably the best known Bible story in the whole Bible. Probably. Especially in the New Testament. Everybody knows this story. And the point of any sermon about this story would be that. Just that. I could just show that picture and then go home. I don't need to preach for 15 minutes about the Good Samaritan story. Because that's the point. You want to be this guy, not those other guys. You want to be the guy that was different from those other guys and still helped them, him, and still helped him. Samaritan helping the Jews, one of the Jews. Oh, of course, I Do I have a Bible up here? Maybe not, it's my own fault. Oh, Holy Bible, awesome, great. I'm gonna open this to, so the second reading that was read in Luke chapter 9, it came up in the lectionary a couple of weeks ago. And I thought that it was a very interesting reading, and it was kind of in two parts. And so I thought that the first part was really, where is it? Yeah, here it is, starting at 51. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The literal translation, his jaw was set on Jerusalem. He's been preaching around Nazareth, walking around with gathering disciples, teaching people, healing, all of that. And now his jaw is set on Jerusalem. If you read only the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus' ministry was only 1 year long, and it ended at Passover in Jerusalem. So there was the whole year, and it came to the point where Jesus' jaw set on Jerusalem, heads to Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, rides in on the donkey, palm branches, Last Supper, arrested, crucified, risen. All happens at the end of the year. And this is where he's headed. In the Gospel of John, there are three Passovers in the stories. So you kind of have to pick whether you think Jesus had a one-year ministry or a three-year ministry, depending on what gospel you read. So they're going from town to town, and they come upon this country of Samaria, where people did not get along with the Jewish people. Samaritans and Jews hated each other, basically. The Jews hated the Samaritans because they dared to set up a capital city in a place other than Jerusalem. They believed it was in a different place. And so, they didn't like each other. They didn't normally welcome each other. And so Jesus and the disciples found that it was easier to go through Samaria than it was to go around. So they sent some messengers ahead of time to see what would happen. And I guess that Jesus and his group did follow them, in these messengers, into Samaria. And it says, but they did not receive him, for his face was set toward Jerusalem. Isn't scripture so nice? Like things are written so nicely. And unless we stop for a moment and really consider what's being said, we might get the idea that there was, that it was just like this amicable relationship. Oh, they did not receive him. That's like saying, and we look at this border crisis to the south of the United States with refugees, asylum seekers coming from Central America. It's like saying, they tried to enter the United States, but the United States did not receive them. And you can well imagine, I don't know if you're a news junkie like I am, watch CNN too religiously. A couple hours a day I spend watching CNN. But there are terrible things going on at the border. Asylum seekers are being treated as criminals. They're being kept in very poor conditions. And there is great overcrowding. And because the Republican Party in the United States and President Trump won't approve of any kind of aid package to kind of get out of the situation unless it includes Trump's border wall, which is a ridiculous thing, then the Congress, of course, which belongs to the Democrat Party, they won't approve anything that has the wall in it. So they're stuck, and nothing's happening, and people are being kept in cages. They did not receive him. So I don't know what actually happened when Jesus tried to go and the disciples tried to go into Samaria. But whatever the not receiving part was, it was bad enough for the two of the disciples, James and John, saying, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Did you catch that the first time around? It's like, what? So it was a pretty bad reception, obviously. And these guys are, "Do you want us to command fire?" I don't know how they thought they could do it anyway. They didn't have any power when Jesus had his earthly ministry, but I guess they meant, you know, the royal we, including Jesus. "Let's have some fire come down and burn them all up. Burn them all alive. Let's do that." And then it says, "But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village." What is with these guys? Do you remember any other stories about James and John? James and John were also the guys who said to Jesus at one time, they had a great idea. They said, "Lord, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus, in one way or another, said, "No." Another time, they said, "When you come into your kingdom, the two of us would like to sit at your right and your left hand." And Jesus said, "No," in some kind of way, "and it's not going to be like that," in another kind of way. And so here are these guys again. "Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, burn them all up alive?" And here's scripture being so nice again. He rebuked them. Have you ever used that word in general conversation, rebuked? Yeah. Rebuke them. It's a nice Bible word. I would probably, in our modern time, I would kind of translate it like this. Jesus turned to them and said, "Don't be so stupid. Don't be so stupid." It's the third time now they've had a stupid question, and this is by far the worst stupid question of all. And rebuked, he was probably angry when he said it. "Don't be so stupid." And then, of course, later, he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. That must have blown their minds, because they would have been sitting there, having just gone through this part, when they heard the story of the Good Samaritan. And it was a lawyer. My husband loves that. He's a lawyer. A lawyer stood up and asked, "Well, who is my neighbor? If I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, who's my neighbor?" And Jesus answered the question with a story. Good Samaritan story. Who in that story was a neighbor to the man that was hurt and wounded? The Samaritan. Oh. Don't do that. Mind blowing. We are not just in a crisis today by looking at our sister country, the United States of America. And when we look at it, being dismayed and thinking, "Oh, well, at least we live in Canada." I like social media. So you're learning all my things, CNN, social media. And on social media a while back, there was something came through from the Liberal Party of Canada, Justin Trudeau, one or the other. And the comments section would blow your mind. Like what people say in the comments about whatever Justin Trudeau is saying. It's usually something nondescript, like, I don't know. "We have a new plan for the environment, and also I'm approving the pipeline." And then that's another sermon for another day. But no matter what it is that he's saying, the comments from all the people in Canada who don't like him and don't like the Liberal Party are absolutely out of this world. If you think these disciples are saying stupid things, you should read some of these comments online. I mean, we should not have immigration, for example. we should not let people into the country anymore. They take our jobs. Not a fact. That isn't true. They are terrorists. We shouldn't accept any Muslim people into the country. We should definitely never take refugees anymore. I made the mistake of kind of arguing with one guy, what I thought was kind of sane. And he said, well, you'll sure be surprised when our country has Sharia law. I said, indeed I will. Indeed I will be surprised. Costs us money, taxpayers. The idea of welcoming people that are not like us, just what I was saying to the children, is it almost seemed normal to those children, right? They couldn't even think of any examples, really. And yet, here are grown adults. Anybody that's a bit different, we don't want them here. We're afraid. And some folks want to rain fire down on them and consume them. These disciples in the Bible, they needed some conflict resolution skills. Yeah? They needed nonviolent communication. They needed to sit and listen. Samaritans and Jews needed to sit down together and listen to one another, much like Muslims and Jews today need to sit down for a long, long time and listen. Not wait for their turn to talk, but listen. And you put Christians in the mix, a lot of listening needs to be done. You know that when we're little, first thing we learn to do is we learn to speak. And then we learn to read, and then we learn to write. We learn to walk. We learn how to operate a motor vehicle eventually, but we don't learn how to listen. Unless you go to a school like I did for ministry, pastoral care, counseling, you don't learn anything about how to listen. For most people, listening is the same thing as hearing. It took me, I don't know, at least 30 of my 38 years of marriage to convince my husband of that. He'd be like, yeah, I heard you, and he could repeat back what I said. I'm like, yes, but you weren't listening. Yeah, I was listening. I just told you what you said. That's hearing. Listening is different. Hearing is just waiting for your turn to talk. Yeah, whatever you're saying, this is what I think. That's not listening. Listening is putting out of your mind whatever it is you want to say and really listening. Stephen Covey, in his famous book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the seven is this: seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. We all need to do some listening. We need to listen to people that are different from us, and we need to listen to people who are the same as us. I'm going to end with a story about a guy named Frank. So, my husband and I were sitting at the kitchen table in one of our houses 23 years ago or so. It was about 11 o'clock at night. Most people were in bed, and I could hear this. Roo, roo, roo. Roo, roo, roo. Roo, roo. Just like that. I'm not imitating a dog. I'm telling you, that's what I heard. And I said, what is that noise? And my husband said, oh, that's Frank. Frank? Our next door neighbor, Frank. That's Frank? Yep, that's Frank. He's barking like a dog. Why is Frank barking like a dog? Well, because the people next door to him, they go to work every day and they leave their dog in the house when they're gone. And Frank works the night shift, so he's trying to sleep. And the dog barks all day, and he can't sleep. So he decided he would go out onto his lawn at 11 o'clock at night when they were sleeping and bark. Row, 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 row. Very annoying. He got that part right. Very annoying. The problem with barking is that very quickly a bark can turn into a growl, and a growl into angry words, and angry words into a fist, and a fist into a knife, and a knife into a gun, and a gun into an assault rifle, an assault rifle into a tank, and a tank into a missile. And before long, you got somebody with their finger right on the nuclear button who says, "Should we bring fire down from heaven and consume them?" And Jesus says, "Don't be so stupid.